We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, my homie, my good friend, Miami Heat Beat alumni, professional screw up on Five Reasons Sports Network, Five on the Floor, Alex Toledo.
What's going on?
We big chilling. We are doing an afternoon, a Wednesday afternoon show because I have volleyball to play later in the evening. And there has been so much Heat news, especially that broke yesterday. The Heat discourse machine was in full force, Alex, and we had to talk. You know, when you could talk Heat Pistons, you gotta talk Heat Pistons. So we decided to punt on the Patty Mills signing and a bunch of other stuff and do a little afternoon pod. You and I today in the midst of Champions League football, as I am have an eye on my other screen. How you doing, man?
Doing fine, man. It's that time of year, so. Covering the games is starting to get a little bit more fun.
That's exciting.
Every year it's the same thing, so it's funny that it's just happening again right on time, you know?
That calendar meme of, like, you know, Jimmy caring? Yeah. That, it's true. It's the most true thing in the world. Do you see Celtic fans, bro, trying to copy it with Tatum?
You know what? I don't even care because, like, what they try to do, like, it shows, right? Like, Tatum struggles at this time of year. Like, it's pretty accurate about it. They don't try to, you know, speak falsities about Tatum's playoff performances. So I appreciate them, you know, being honest about it.
They're keeping it real, bro. I hate Celtic fans, bro. I'm just so sick of them. I need Jimmy to win because I need the Heat to win because I just can't deal with these people. I don't think I can handle if they win. I used to like be like, whatever, anybody but Philly and the Knicks. I can't, bro. They just won't shut the fuck up.
Oh, no, I'm 100% with you. And for some reason, like, they just always win Miami. And having to see, you know, all the green scattered around the arena for those games and all of them leaving with just, like, the dumbest, smuggest looks on their faces. Like, it's the worst every time.
It's so sick, bro. I fucking hate it, dude. I can't. But we're going to talk Patty Mills. We're not here to hate on the Celtics. There's plenty of time for that in the playoffs. Alex, Miami, Pat Riley wakes up from his slumber. He arose from his bed.
Once again.
And he signed a guy that I think none of us expected him to sign.
No.
I don't think – did you have it on – I didn't have it on my bingo board.
No, I wasn't expecting that. I mean, like, we had, like, gone over the idea of, like, you know, waiving Drew Smith and how they can eat that contract financially because of the space that they have now away from the second apron. We don't have to get into how that happened.
No, we can. That's one of the benefits of trading Lowry was, you know, I think, and I've said, like, I think the first round pick was steep, but you get a guy that you're going to have under contract for multiple years and, you know, you're going to get under that second apron, which is going to let you be a player in the buyout market and kind of fill out your roster with one of these bench guys.
Yeah, and it allowed them to sign DeLon, and it allowed them to sign Patty now too. I don't think Patty's gonna play at any time anytime soon. Like, play. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. DeLon's not even playing right now, and I would, you know, unless people disagree with me, I think he's more useful and kind of somebody that they need more skill set wise than Patty at this point. I think Patty is more like a depth piece, and DeLon is too, to a certain extent. But the point of attack defense is really real with DeLon, and he is obviously much younger. I mean, Patty, I still believe, can shoot the hell out of the ball. Like, I don't doubt that. I'm sure they could run him off, you know, handoffs and kind of use him like they've used shooters in the past, and he would shoot it fine. I don't doubt that. It's more about everything else, and that's why I don't think he'll be playing anytime soon. But you know what? Having another vet around, somebody who can play if need be, you know, it's not the worst thing.
Yeah, my reaction was like,
I do feel bad for Drew Smith though. Like, you know, I hope it works out for him.
The game yesterday?
He was at the game. He was at family festival. He was, you know,
damn, bro.
Since it wasn't official last night, you know, and
was he sitting with the? Does he sit with the team?
Of course. What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's Matt Clark.
Like away from it. That's insane.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe he just wants. I imagine him courts.
No, that's crazy. That would have been terrible.
Fucking funny. Sitting next to Camila Cabello, whatever her name is.
Media were told not to address. This is last night. Media were told not to address the rumors about the Heat signing somebody last night.
It wasn't official.
I'm saying, like, you know, since it wasn't official, you can't ask about it. So it's just a rule thing. But that did the rumors.
It's just so funny. Yeah, rumors. That's hilarious. I had the same reaction. I'm just like, yeah, I don't really see him playing very much. Although I very famously said when they signed Birdman, he's not going to play. So,
yeah, but they were desperate for somebody like that.
What do I know?
They were desperate for somebody of, you know, like that for that position. I think Patty is just kind of a luxury at this point.
Yeah, I mean, last night DeLon didn't play again, and I just think that Eric is going to just as short a rotation as possible. Also, like, I think my reaction, and this is before the Richardson news came out, that Josh is going to have shoulder surgery and he's going to be out for the remainder of the season. That kind of told me that the Patty signing was, they might not feel great about Josh and or Tyler. Mm-hmm. And Tyler is not traveling with the team on this 2-game road trip. Neither is Kevin Love. So get well soon to both those guys. But yeah, just crazy how they really have one able guard. I don't really count Duncan as a guard. I guess they might. But
he's one of the best shot creators, nonetheless, no matter what you want to call him.
The man is a hooper.
Unbelievable.
The man, Alex, I think every show I've just talked about how impressed I am with Duncan Robinson.
Oh man.
Dude, just point guard. Just point guard.
It's unreal. That move he had last night. People wanted to compare it to the move he had on Victor, which was also great, but those are different moves. There's like extra sauce on that one, man. Like, that's almost more of a street ball move than anything. And then whoever it was that uncovered the clip of him doing it in high school, it's like, if it is true that he hasn't done that in high school, it just adds to like the myth making of Duncan Robinson and coming from like a D3 school. You know, we were talking about it last night. Brady, Ethan, and I, as we were walking away from the arena, it's like, Duncan's had such a crazy arc, man. Like, it's just so wild. Like, it feels like it's, you know, it's like some storybook shit. He has a crazy background as far as, like, you know, like I said, D3 coming into a D1. I mean, you mentioned on the other show, as far as, like, you know, they needed shooting when he first came in. They didn't think he was ready, but they developed him. And now he went from being, like, you know, having one of the best shooting seasons of all time, getting paid for it, then almost, like, losing his job, basically. To Max Strus, and now he comes out of the woodwork. I guess last year, like, he was still getting a decent amount of playing time in the playoffs and had his chances to impact.
In 22, he was like out of the playoff rotation.
22, he was out of it, and during the season last year, he was kind of out of it. So it was, you know, for him to come out of it, just so much better, man. It's insane. That moment, that move last night, just sent me into another dimension, man. That was like one ascending. Of the crazy. I lost my composure. I'm like, oh my god,
bro. Because like, I don't know. Like, I didn't think he had that in him. Like, I like that, bro. Like that, and like just combined with, and he was playing really well that quarter too. You know what I mean? Like, he had just been like playing well, dude. I have no more words. I just say that guy is fucking crazy and needs to play.
The confidence, the sauce, the impact.
the impact.
He's a basketball player and a hooper. Like, incredible.
Dude, Alf was so right. Alf was so ahead of the curve here on the Duncan stuff. It's crazy. Although Alf sold him short because Alf called him a four, and he's really kind of like a fucking point guard for them at times. Which, dude, so like, I think if Duncan doesn't have this on-ball development, we might be talking about Patty and DeLon differently. I think that because he's been such a good ball handler and because he runs their offense at times, I think that they can kind of get away with not playing like the extra point guard like DeLon or maybe Patty in the future.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I feel like they like Spo has done stuff like that in the past, but now, like you're saying, with this skill development, it's you can do that and feel good about it. It's not like, oh, we're gonna do like what you used to call the what was it, the triple handoff roulette?
That revolving door of handoffs.
The revolving door of handoffs, right? Like there was that it was almost limited because it would, you know, they would try to go for like a couple specific outcomes. And now I feel like with Duncan's fluidity and the skill set, he's just reading and reacting. You know, it's nothing out of this world. Like he's getting to the rim not because he's like quicker or anything, right? He's just reacting to the way that he's being guarded. And, you know, the passes are the same thing. He's just – he looks – he has a development right now of, like, a – he's going through the development of, like, a young point guard who had, like, a couple of first seasons, and then all of us, like, all the reps, like, made them better for it. It's that type of development. You don't really see that with guys who are, you know, like a Kyle Korver type of role.
He's like – you calling him Chauncey Billups? Like
– I mean, I know somebody else whose name I won't say. Who had that path as well?
Kyle.
Yep.
Yeah. We were all thinking it. I went Billups to not get accused of something.
I'm just pandering,
dude. So they played 10 guys yesterday, two of which were Orlando and Thomas Bryant that played under 8 minutes. Highsmith played 11. So I'm not really sure like what you know. Where Mills fits into this, but I think that his shooting shot 38% last year, 37 the year before, 40, 37, 38, 39, 37, all from three. You know, that's if he's going to, huh?
Pretty high volume too. I mean, last year, not too much because his role kind of diminished, but the season before with the Nets, it was kind of like their last hurrah. I think he was, 40% on like 7 attempts a game?
In Brooklyn, 1 year, yes. That was a 22 season, 23 season. He shot 37%. So like they'll need some ball handling. He's not like a penetrator and spray kind of guy, which I think what they need more of, but I can totally see him, you know, maybe a little bit in handoffs, more in spot up, you know, he could move a bit.
Off ball mover.
I just think that they just have a lot of redundancy at times with that. Cause like Duncan wants to do that. And he's going to want to do that. And I think that
he's insurance for those guys. I think, he's with him.
I agree. Do you think DeLon is in front of him rotationally, or do you think it depends on who's hurt?
He should be. I mean, I guess it does depend on who's hurt at times. Like the, you know, like maybe if Duncan, something were to happen to him, God forbid, let me knock on this wood right here. But just like maybe, you know, to fill in for that role, because like you're saying, to come off handoffs and be an off ball mover. Other than that, no, I do think DeLon should be in front of him. And I was kind of looking forward to seeing DeLon play. I know it was, the timing was a little bit tough because he talked about it with us, in our interview. And I think when he first joined the team, when it's like, oh, you know, this opportunity happened because Terry and Josh got hurt. And man, did that get kind of wrapped up quick. Like as soon as Terry came back, his minutes got cut immediately. Gone. And then not only that, you know, like kind of, you know, Highsmith has taken over him again. Another guy who's kind of had a weird arc just this season because he was a starter and he went back to being a bench player, was kind of out of the rotation for a little bit there. Now he's back in there. We saw him obviously play at times throughout the playoffs last year, including the finals. I thought he's deserving of minutes too. And it feels like maybe it's one or the other since I think Caleb has kind of solidified his spot in the rotation.
He's been
really bad about Josh, by the way.
Real. Like yeah, no, we haven't talked about it too much, but yeah, man. And Josh had been playing really well. And I think he gives them a little bit of pull-up juice. He gives them a little bit of transition juice as a finisher. Cause I kind of like his finishing this season. I think he's been really good. I think the numbers will bear that out as well. So it just kind of sucks. Yeah. It just, man, it stinks because I was really I mean, you know, I love that guy. You know, yeah, obviously
we all love him.
Soft spot for him. Always.
Goodness for you is that it looks like he'll probably be back next season. I don't think he'll be denying that player option.
No, at this point, no. Hopefully he can, I mean, a year in the new system and everything. But yeah, man, it's just, that stinks for them. And yeah. I think he was just really finding his stride, and they're just not going to be able to, I think he's theoretically a guy who can defend. And I know that he struggled this year with that, but I thought he was getting better.
Me too. I thought he was getting better as the season went along, kind of on both ends of the floor. And I think earlier in the season, he was giving you more on offense than defense. And that was not really ideal, even though, you know, you appreciated the offense that he was giving you, and, you know, not too many erratic decisions. And I thought he got much better as the season went on, and just everything looked smooth. He had kind of, I think, cut out some of the fat in his shot profile, where it's like just less handling at the top of the key.
Yeah.
More just kind of playing in the rhythm of the offense. He shouldn't be like, you know, he was never supposed to be a guy who, you know, creates for you. I mean, not at this point. Right. Maybe, you know, when you first brought him in and there was, you know, they had to figure out what they had and they tried to make him a better player for it and having him handling and all that. That's not the case anymore.
He came in as a backup point guard. That was like his role.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think he, you know, it probably did make him better for it. And I think you kind of see that in something like when he would attack off the second side. I feel like that's where he was decent there, and he could kind of flow into some of those shots that he likes, the mid-range, a little, you know, kind of like that sort of floater slash hook shot that he kind of has there in the short mid-range. I don't know what to call it, but
that little, you know, that little pusher, the three-point
shooting. Yeah, and we've seen those shots forever. Like, we know he where he likes to settle there, and then the three started to really fall. You know, it was just hilarious covering the Kings, you know, because I've been doing a lot of covering the road teams this year. It's been fun. And, you know, covering the Kings after that was hilarious. Mike Brown, just, you could tell in his answers, was so, like, pissed that that happened. It's just like one of those, like, game night-to-night anomalies. I think he had hit, like, 6 or 7 threes that night. Jay Rich did.
He's really one of us. Mike Brown was one of us.
Yeah, but he was like, you know, oh, you know, we probably would have. I mean, he didn't say it, but the vibe I was getting was we probably would have won, and that bullshit didn't happen. You know what I mean? Like,
dog, that's so fucking funny. That's, he's so real for that, dude.
He didn't say any of that.
You're
conjecture, speculation.
The vibe that you were getting. The vibe was like, yeah, if this motherfucker doesn't do that, we walk out of here with.
Because he pointed it out like multiple times to the reporters.
Just looking at the you know,
one thing stands out.
How could you plan for this? You know.
But yeah, man. Like, I think part of that is, you know, the testament to Josh is taking, you know, open catch and shoot. Maybe, you know, a fewer of like some weird. He's had some weird looks that he, I think, took earlier in the season that he stopped taking, and it just became, you know, pretty much a 3-and-D role. Stop handling. Stop trying to create stuff, and, you know, play out of the second side or catch and shoot, and that was it. So shout out to Josh. You know, hoping the best for you, and, you know, hopefully he'll be good to go next season.
I agree. I hope that. Oh yeah, prayers up. Get well soon, Jay Rich. We continue our flash tour around the discourse machine. Jeff,
can I ask you a question before we get to the Jeff Teague stuff? Which amazing. That was as soon as that dropped, and I had the notification, I had to watch it. Amazing, but because we were talking about the rotation and stuff, and I wanted to ask you how you feel about some of the. Oh, look, there it is. I'm sorry, I can't play through that. The camera thing is, I'm glad to experience it in person.
You know what the camera thing's like? It's like when a player like falls in mid-possession and you don't know if he's just going to get up and be okay. And they're still just fucking playing. Like Jalen Brunson goes down, right? And it looks really bad. And everyone's like, what, do we foul? Do we not? Is coach calling timeout? And they play like 2 possessions before like somebody's like, okay, we got to get this guy out of here.
Yeah,
same thing.
Sounds about right. Oh yeah, the question was, so I mean, with some of the new developments here, how do you feel about Jovic kind of being a staple now as a starter, and not to get into a crusade about Terry, because we've already seen that enough. We could talk about it later if you want to, but this isn't a question about Terry. I wanted to ask you about Jovic and how you feel about him. And as far as like, you know, the rotation, we were talking about kind of DeLon being the odd man out as it stands and Haywood being in there. Are there any changes that you would like to be, I mean, to see be made to the rotation as it stands right now? How do you feel about it?
In terms of Jovic?
In terms of Jovic and just kind of where it stands now, because I feel like at one point Jovic is like maybe kind of the odd man out, and now he's been kind of a staple for a little while. You know, like I said before, Highsmith has been in and out, and now DeLon is the odd man out.
I think that Jovic and Highsmith, so I think that like Jovic is probably going to be the starter for the foreseeable future. Now, what does foreseeable future mean? That could mean with Eric Spoelstra, 2 weeks to 6 months. Who knows? The only guys who have really consistently started for this team since the build has started have been Jimmy and Bam. Everyone else has been a starter and not been a starter. I guess since Tyler won the job, quote unquote, he has not come off the bench, so he could kind of put him as another guy. But I'm not super sold on Jovic yet in terms of like being a playoff starting guy. Maybe, you know, even in round one, depending on who they match, if they're the sixth seed, they play Milwaukee, you know, it's going to be different if they play New York or Philly in the 4-5, you know, however.
I think he's more useful in those bigger matchups.
I think like so too. Kind
of where Spo has felt comfortable using him. It's like, okay, you know, you're going to get dominated by Jonas Valanciunas this one night, right? But Brook Lopez isn't going to kill you on this other night. Like, we can live with that as long as we're stopping the Zions and the Giannis's, and we're you know, protecting the paint. And, you know,
I'm just not super sold on him, man.
Me neither.
I like him as a player, and I think he's like a year away from being there. I think he's a year away from being like an 82 game, like real contributor that is like helping you every night and not being so green.
I think he's kind of shown that already. I'm more like, to me, what I'm not sold on is him being a 25 minutes in the playoffs.
No, he's too young and he's not defensively.
And I think that's
there.
Kind of like where he's at right now. So that's why I'm interested to see like what are going to be the developments when the playoffs start. And of course, it's going to vary based on.
It's going to be Caleb. When the games matter against Boston, it's going to be Caleb. I think
he's going to start.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think against Boston, I could definitely see that.
And I think Jovic is kind of like,
if you want to put him on Porzingis, some people have brought that up. I think Brady brought that up too. Like you could try something like that. I don't hate that.
They'll try it. They'll try it.
I don't hate that. I'd rather they do that than switch the Porzingis actions like they did during our watch party, the Rock Esports Center.
Yeah. Watch party. Which, by the way, Friday, you guys are having another one for the OKC Thunder game, at 8 p.m. I will be there.
Tournament at 5. 2K tournament at 5.
Tournament at 5.
Yeah.
That's early. That's early.
Yeah, well, there's been, you know, we've had feedback and some people wanted to, you know, we try to do it earlier as opposed to later and having to stay late through the night. So we tried out different
2K
things.
2K tournament at 5. There will also be a Super Smash Ultimate tournament concurrently with the watch party. So if you like that and want to watch Pete with us.
Shout out to Rock Esports, man.
Shout out to Rock. I'll be there. Saucy Takes Coach Lou said that he'd be there. I'm going to try to get Christian Hernandez and Musabai to come. So we'll make a little reunion. So join us. Have fun. Even though I'm promoting y'all's watch party, I like going having fun. So yeah, rotationally, I guess that's what I'm thinking. And then, you know, they're gonna play, you know, now that Josh is out, I really think that their rotation is gonna be Rozier, Hero, Jimmy, Bam, that's 4, Hymith 5, Duncan 6, Kevin Love 7, and Caleb Martin 8.
So you're saying you think Nico is gonna be out?
I think Nico, Highsmith,
and DeLon,
and who? And DeLon are gonna be like, I don't think DeLon's gonna be in the rotation at all. I think Highsmith.
You think they're gonna be out?
Yeah, I think Highsmith and Jovic have like suppose maybe we'll play 9 guys. I don't see him playing 10.
Me neither. He's not even playing 10 now.
He played 10 last night, but that was Orlando.
Yeah, but he played two centers.
Yeah, Orlando and three centers, technically. Yeah, Orlando and TB split.
And then in that Nuggets game, and I know you guys talked about it as well, you know, we mentioned on our show that it felt like kind of a dress rehearsal for the playoffs, right, where it's like he basically played 7.5, with the half being in that game against the Nuggets, Orlando, which would, of course, be K-Love's minutes in the playoffs. And it's like, I thought that was very informative of how Spo feels about the rotation. And I thought it was kind of, he's always been like this. So it's not new, but, you know, with all the conversation this year, I know he doesn't give a shit about the conversation around him and his team, but, you know, the conversation about the team being so deep and having all these different, you know, types of players and utilizing your depth, you know, I think he likes to utilize his depth in the way that, in the sense that he'll play, you know, he'll give guys spots and chances and opportunities throughout the season. But in the playoffs, it's like hunker down, get down to business. And he kind of goes conservative with it, which I respect because, of course, he's Spo and they've done a great job with that. But it's also like, man, you know, I feel like they could use some DeLon. I feel like they could use, you know, when Haywood was out, some Haywood. And I think I personally feel they should do 10 during the season. That's always been a position of mine, you know, for a team that you consider to be deep, right, where you're not playing guys who you think are unplayable. But I completely understand why he would kind of bring it down in the play.
I wonder, so like, I probably go Highsmith over Jovic in the playoffs personally. Again, there's some more season to be played, and maybe Jovic puts himself in a conversation that he's like, okay, well, we need to be playing this guy at least 15 minutes because what he gives you, he really gives them something that nobody else gives them. It's a really unique kind of just the ball handling at his size, the kind of offensive go-go that he has. They don't have that from anybody else. The way he pushes pace,
yep.
It's just important. I think that mix-up is important for them to have in their lineup. And that's his most valuable – that's the most valuable thing he gives them. So kind of curious as to how that works out, although I would be surprised if they play 9 guys. And of those guys I just named, man, I don't know who you take out. Like Rozier, Hero, Jimmy, Bam, locks, right? Jaime, Duncan, locks. Kevin Love?
Lock.
He's like the best. The metrics say he's the best player on the team, which is funny.
No, what it's saying basically is that those lineups are great, right?
Yeah. I mean, even like EPM likes him. He's in the 96.
Yeah, I mean, every time he's on the floor, they're winning. Like the K-Love lineups have been great.
He's not even shooting that well. He's shooting 35% on the year. That's like okay.
You know what it does remind me of?
You know, he has like one of the best defensive rebound. He has the best defensive rebound percentage in the league.
I know that's going to separate him from the comparison I was about to make. I was going to say some of this stuff reminds me of like the off the bench impact of Kelly in that first Jimmy year, where he was kind of like that the dribble handoff hub, and I thought he was great in that role off the bench. And yeah, K-Love is, you know, definitely separates himself from Kelly there with the defensive rebounding. He's just been so damn solid, man. And I think the defense since he's been, you know, here has been better than expected. Obviously, he's not, you know, he's no Bam, but, you know, you thought he was going to stand out and you know, you're constantly going to have to cover up for him because he's, you know, he was thought to be old and slow, and he hasn't been that bad. Like he's good positionally. He takes charges. The things he does, you know, setting guys up in transition, K-Love has been awesome. I think he's a lock for those like 10, 12 minutes.
This is his best. You know that this is his best year in EPM since 2012.
Wow.
This is like via EPM, it's his third best season ever.
Well, if you remember, he's 2 seasons removed from being runner up for sixth man of the year when Tyler won. Kevin Love was runner up, and
he's twice as good statistically since then.
How many minutes did he play that season?
He played 24. He played 22 and a half. He's playing 17 and a half this season. 17 and a half.
There you go. And I think that is not coincidental. I think the fact that he's kind of been used in these kind of smaller bursts, and not to mention his connection with Jimmy. Not that he's only done it with Jimmy, because I know those lineups have been good without Jimmy as well. But what I'm saying is that connection with Jimmy has been fantastic. So you feel good about playing him with your best player when Bam is off. And you know, that's been a narrative as far as like, can Jimmy and Bam play together and all that stuff. I he's been great. I'm kind of with you as far as Highsmith. I wish both of them could play, but I just don't think that's going to be the case. Even if you were to like split their minutes in half, I don't think he's going to go 10.
Highsmith might get some minutes against Boston because they're just going to need the switchability. And that's a series that I can see them playing less Love. And
that's the thing. I could totally see it changing like you're saying, series by series. Like maybe that Jovic plays over Highsmith more against the Bucks, perhaps against the Knicks. I'm not sure about that one. I don't know if I like Jovic a lot in that matchup, just because Randle is so physical, and if you're putting him on a Hardenstein, I feel like he might get killed on the boards. Maybe you can get away with it, but against the Celtics, for sure, I would play Highsmith over Jovic. Yeah, I do think he could play it. Like I said, I think you can get away with putting him on Kristaps, because Kristaps will really shoot over a guy. I don't know that he's gonna elbow you and bang in the paint all day against Jovic. I don't know if that's what they want to get into. And if they do, you're kind of taking them out of their offense a bit. So I think there's ways that you can go about it, but that would require probably playing 10 if you're trying to get both of them in there.
Yeah, that's not a Spo thing. So Spo will do that. He did it in 2020. They had like some series where they played 10 guys, sometimes 11 guys, particularly they were playing redacted, like, I don't know, 7 minutes, and then take them out, and then they'd play Olynyk and Bam and PJ.
And that's how they can do it with Jovic. I think redacted is a good example here. That's how he can go about it, right? But I don't know that he will. But the fact that he's trusting in this much as of late is telling. I just think it's like, I like Jovic, and I would like to keep seeing him play. I just don't know how I feel about him starting in the playoffs versus certain teams, especially when, your backcourt isn't the strongest defensively, right? No matter what combinations, you like, I just personally, I feel like the balance is a little bit messed up there, and I think you can kind of be taken advantage of.
But out of their top 9 guys, the following are below average defenders: Rozier, Hero, that's 2, Robinson, that's 3, Kevin Love, that's 4.
The good thing is that I feel
Jovic would be the 5th. And I think that, like, and I say average to below average defender. I think Kevin's become an average defender.
I think it's funny that K Love is the best out of all of them, but I think Duncan has shown improvement.
So is Tyler, but it's still.
Yeah, and
bad.
Rozier fights over screens, but he sucks off ball.
Rozier is arguably the worst. Rozier is arguably the worst defender out of the bunch.
I would take
That's what the data tells me.
That's fine, but I'm saying I would take Rozier fighting over screens and the wingspan over Tyler. And I know Tyler, he does a good job trying to be there. I would say Tyler is definitely a better off-ball defender. I'll say that. Tyler is definitely a better off-ball defender.
Yeah, Rozier has the size and the wingspan.
Exactly, and I think Rozier kind of gets away with that a little bit, and that's where the off-ball defense is. It can be tough at times because I think he kind of relies on the wingspan to get back. And sometimes, he's just too late. But I do think on ball, I'm taking Terry. That wasn't the point. What I wanted to say was that none of them individually, I think are like terrible bottom of the league defenders. It's just that you're playing a combination of them at all times.
Yeah, you're playing more
including Jovic. Like, I don't think he's been. I think he's been much better defensively. Like,
I think he's been pretty not great.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, I don't think he's a positive, but I think he's been much better as far as, compared to his rookie season.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app.
Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That's a low bar.
Oh, it was, for sure. For sure it's a low bar. What I'm saying is you can get away with playing these guys individually, but again, you're playing a combination of them, and I don't know, you know, when is too much in the playoffs, when you know, there's the stakes are at hand.
So let's kind of transition because we spent a lot of time on rotation. I do want to get to these last two things. We'll hit them quick.
This is what I come here for, man. I come here to get into the weeds.
Come here to get hoops. I'm here for narratives. I'm here to bring you back. I'm here to bring you back to where Ethan is. Which, by the way, Real and this German team, they're tied. You know, they're up one on aggregate. This is a fucking doozy going on in Germany right now. Jeff Teague on Udonis's podcast, which, by the way, shout out to Mike Miller, who finally got more than a sentence in on the pod. That man.
Barely.
That man, huh?
Barely.
I was shocked that he talked so much. I was like, he
spoke like in the middle of the show at one point. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot he was here.
Dude, I always forget he's there. So, and it's always, I think it's so funny because Mike Miller will be like, Udonis will say something and he'll be like, that's so true, OG. He's just like, he's kind of like Yuji's little yes man.
That's
what it feels like. That's what it feels like. I know that that's not. I know that they're good friends, but
that's what it feels. I like when he actually gets to like give his own experiences. I just feel like it's so rare. Like
he did say his favorite player was Larry Bird, and I was like, "You're not helping."
Well, you know, Udonis spoke about how that was his dad's favorite player.
He did. But
that shit killed me when he first said it. I don't think it was on this last one. When he first said it, he's like, oh, I never wanted to say it to people. My dad's favorite player was Larry Bird. Like, respect, man. Respect.
I actually think Larry was cold. Larry talks so much shit.
Oh, for sure. There's no.
I love his Larry game, Bird. Bro. It was like the most like modern small ball.
He would absolutely kill in the modern game.
I think he more than anybody, like, because he just had the shooting.
I mean, most of these guys, like, most of the, like, the greatest of all time would kill in the modern game. But
I just think that, like, he was ahead of the curve with the way that, and he'd have a super green light to shoot and do a lot of, like, stuff he likes. But yeah, so on Udonis's pod, Jeff Teague said he had Harden over Dwayne. And
yeah, not the first time he said it.
It's not the first time he said it. A couple things. One, Udonis did a horrible job of arguing for Dwayne.
Horrible. I thought he did all right.
No, he didn't. He just said, but what has James won? And then he's just like, well, he's like, James has been good every year. And then basically Jeff Teague is like, I mean, y'all were in the dumps. You got Michael Beasley 1 year. And I was like, Udonis, you gotta step in and say, Dwayne Wade got hurt. He fucked his shoulder up that year.
Oh, no, that part, I was thinking the same thing.
I was like, UD, you were there, dog. You were there.
The entire season. Like,
the other thing, you got to be like, okay, well, the 2 years that we were, the two years that we were competing with you guys, we were starting two rookies. You know what I mean? Like, the corpse of Jermaine O'Neal. Whatever.
They won more games than they should have. In those regular seasons, what was 43 and 45 or 43 and 47?
Udonis was arguably their second or third best player at times.
Yeah, even though I was upset at the time that he was getting minutes over Beasley to close.
Oh, wow. You were part of that. I was team Udonis at the
time. I was a kid and I loved Beasley coming in. I was not against UD at all. I was just upset that Beasley didn't get the chance.
So Alex is anti UD. So I thought Udonis just did a poor job of arguing for Dwayne. Never brought up James Harden's bad closeout performances because he's trying to be too nice. I just think that I don't want to get dragged into the argument again because we've done it so many times. I just did think it was funny, and I think Udonis doing a poor job of arguing. And then both of those guys just like arguing for the dudes that just like helped their careers was just funny the whole time.
Like, yeah, no, it was funny. And I thought, honestly, like UD kind of, like you said, took almost like a political approach to it where like he didn't want to just trash James Harden. And that's what he kind of just stuck to.
That's what you got to do.
Like, for example, James Harden, like, you know, when he was on the Rockets, when he was the guy, his main, it was just a high pick and roll, right? Space out. Five out offense, and that was like, you know, just sticking to it, and that was what UD was doing here, and just sticking to like that argument of, you know, but what did he win? I think he didn't want to like, you know, keep going and get into just trashing him. I'm sure he probably, you know, just has a relationship with him, doesn't want to trash him in public. But man, like, I bet you if you spoke to UD privately about it, he would get more into it.
I don't know, bro, because sometimes, like, basketball players say, like, they're talking about, like, the best duos in the league, and they go Harden and Luka. Kyrie and Luka. And I go, what? I forget that Kyrie's there because Dallas is just such a nothing team.
I mean, they're good. They're really good players. I get it, but there's a lot of great duos, you know?
I mean, I wouldn't put Kyrie and Luka over Jimmy and Bam.
I feel you. I thought the same thing as they were talking about it. And I wanted UD to say something there too. It's like he I think he brought up PG and Kawhi, which is fine. Like them being in the conversation is fine. But damn, no love for your guys who've gotten further than all these duos, except a couple.
Yeah. Udonis was like, well, what did they win? What did they win? I mean, what the fuck has Luka and Kyrie won? You know what I mean?
Like, the only duos in that whole list that had won anything, I think, was LeBron and AD, right?
Fucking.
Because the other one was Giannis and Dame, and they haven't won together.
So Luka and Kyrie are okay. They're plus +5 on the court together. That's pretty good. They have a 124 offensive rating. Goddamn.
No, they are good together, but their defense has been shit lately.
And I don't. Yeah, just.
Oh again. Man, they tried to throw Grant Williams under the bus. He was all their problems, huh? Their defense has fallen off a cliff ever since.
I've seen a lot of teams. Put a and certain Charlotte's guy.
Charlotte's defense has been good as of late. The team that acquired Grant.
And Charlotte got rid of another guy. Much to think about.
PJ Washington.
I just get sick of Dwayne being put in these conversations with Harden because I think that, like, I know that Dwayne and Harden were peers and that they played at the same time, but the game changed so much from Dwayne's prime to what Harden became in his prime. Big that time. It's not, offense got inflated before our eyes, and Dwayne was already an old guy by the time that became a thing, you know, like really kind of starting with Warriors ball. It just, everything
no
changed.
Doubting that I think, and Jeff Teague spoke about it on his pod, and I don't, you know, really line up with this, like, line of thinking, but everything he kept repeating, like, oh, I just really look at, like, who are the, you know, hooping wise and who are the best hoopers. And that's why he had Kyrie and Luka as his best duo. And that's why he loves Harden over Wade. It's like, you know, as an NBA player, I respect.
They just like guys who dribble fun.
Okay. But look, I respect them respecting other people's craft. I mean, like, oh, look, I can do all these things. And I get it. Harden's skill set. And UD was saying the same thing. The skill set is there and it's flashy and it's really cool. A lot of people can't do it and it's fine. But, and, you know, and I think part of that's what at one point in the show they were arguing about whether Luka is like a top five player of all. I'm like, what is going on right now? Like, did I have a fever dream? Did I miss the Luka dynasty?
I didn't know that people fucking went for Luka like that. I did enjoy Jeff Teague being like, nah, Embiid's not like that. Let's go.
No, and Luka's awesome, obviously. But yeah, man, I don't think he lines up. Everybody knows like what Dwayne did at his peak, what he did in the highest. You know, when the stakes were at its highest, and what Harden's done over and over again when stakes are at its highest. Like, I know that stuff, like, tends to get repeated a lot, and it becomes just a full-blown narrative, and it's facts. Like, is this whole thing not about winning, right? Stugatz was not to something, man. Do it when it matters. Do it when it counts.
Do it. Wake me up when it matters. Just do it when it counts.
Do it in the finals.
Do it in the finals. And even if he does it once in the finals, for me, it doesn't erase the other 20 times you did it.
No, but, you know, I'm sure, like, people you know, if he does it for the Clippers this year as the third fiddle, like, that's fine. Like, he's being that means he's being optimized in, like, the role that he should be in, which is fine. He's just not on Dwayne's level. I don't think it's, you know, biased to say that.
Yeah, so Jeff Teague, you can
screw that argument.
Screw that argument. I'm so sick of it. You do it.
Why are we talking about it?
Mike Miller, congratulations for finally joining your own podcast. We're really happy for you. UD also sold him out by really just saying that Mike took money. I was fucked up by UD.
Oh my God. That was hilarious. And he kept Mike Miller was trying to stop him from doing it before it happened.
You cannot control Udonis Haslam. You can only hope to slow him down.
I guess he thinks the statute of limitations is up. So
I get Mike doesn't want to get Billy D in trouble or anything, but I did think that was interesting how Udonis is the assistant coach really was the reason why I went to Florida. And I think we don't think about that stuff as much. We think of the stuff as a face. Not to get into that, but I just thought that was a really insightful thing. Yeah. They talk way too much about college. I really don't give a shit about the Gators.
They were almost like half clowning UD for going with the historical roots. And, he mentioned about Anthony Grant and the UF assistant coach at the time being from Miami, being from Overtown and all that. And, that was the biggest reason he wanted to stay. And he also wanted to stay in the state of Florida. And he took that over a bag and they were kind of clowning him for that. I thought that was funny too.
That was hilarious. Last thing we want to get to real quick. We'll wrap this up in a couple minutes. I just wanted to get to it, cause I don't think I've talked about it too much on the pod. I kind of wanted Alex's thoughts. Although I imagine you're going to feel the same.
Kyle Lowry and Terry Rozier.
Yeah, man. So Lowry, I'm kidding. So Stephen A said that LeBron should get a statue with the Heat, did a list of guys who should get a statue, and he had LeBron. And I guess I'm always annoyed by this because it's nauseating that the media and the country and other fans, they all hated him for being here. They hated him. They put his face on urinals. They all celebrated when fans were holding up signs that said horrible things about his family, about his mother and a teammate, about his father that was absent, about all these horrible things about him. Fatherless king, all that stuff. Face on urinals. They threw batteries at him. They threw batteries at him when he was playing in an opposing arena. And they ridiculed him the entirety of the 4 years he was here. Ridiculed. They won a title and they were facing elimination and they still got ridiculed even after winning. Winning didn't even cure that. I was there. I'm old enough to remember this, Alex. I was there. They said it was cheating and now they want to find reverence. Now you find reverence for his winning when at the time you were telling us that this is cheating. This isn't allowed. This ruins the competitive integrity of our game. And then people don't remember that when he went back to that fucking clown in Cleveland, that fucking goober, that piece of shit, Dan Gilbert, bottom of the barrel, seventh layer of hell type guy, just garbage human being, that when he went back to that guy, he sabotaged the Heat's offseason. Because guys were trying to come. They were trying to get Lowry. They were trying to get Gasol. They were trying to get guys to help him. And he was actively playing defense against their offseason. So now people want to legislate how we remember him when and his time here. When all you did was shit on him relentlessly. That's not how this works, bro. We got love for him, but we don't gotta fucking build this man a statue because you think that, you know what it comes down to, Alex? They think that this franchise is nothing without him, is what it comes down to. They think that is the only reason that the Heat are relevant is because he came here, that he made this team relevant. That's what they believe. Because of how little they think of this city, and we see it in the way that they're always covered now that he's gone. It is disgusting, and I am frankly sick of it. Sick of it.
All of this is a reaction to Stephen A. suggesting in a top five list that the Heat should build a statue for LeBron is hilarious. It's so funny that it got this reaction out of you.
I just get mad, bro, because it's like,
I get it, but it's just
that shit was vile at the time. And now, yeah, what I don't like is like them telling us how to feel about him. I was like,
no, I get that.
You can't do that. You can't, you guys can't do that.
Yeah. Save that for us. We'll argue amongst ourselves.
And I have no problem because I tweeted it on a Heat fan is like, I personally think you should get a statue. And I go, if you have that opinion, I think that's a totally valid thing and we can have a conversation as Heat fans. I don't want to fucking hear it from Nick fan Stephen A. Smith. I just don't.
No,
we're also like, listen, everybody doesn't deserve a statue. Okay.
Hey, guess what? He hasn't won two championships in one place ever since. So you know what?
That's what I'm saying, baby.
That's the that should be the agenda for Heat fans. I think we should unify in that, in respecting LeBron, thinking about him, you know, if you want to, as the GOAT or one of the GOATs, whatever he may be.
I don't even think
at the same time unifying in not wanting him to win two rings in one place because then it'll get in the way of
our narrative. That's the agenda. Alex, I don't even think Pat Riley deserves a statue. I think Dwayne Wade is the only player.
Wow, man.
Is that crazy?
I don't know, but like,
I would not give a statue to an executive. No.
I mean, he was coach and executive, and the reason that they brought all these guys together, like,
I think
he has a pretty good, I wasn't even thinking about that, but I do think, you know, you just coming out with it like that is.
I just think that it's Dwayne and everybody else. And I think that, like, I think certainly Pat Riley before LeBron.
I love a good cop out answer. So what I would say is just like build a court with like all of them throughout time. So like Dwayne, Alonzo, Pat, LeBron
does not deserve a statue.
You have all these.
We're not the Lakers.
Every time a player gets their jersey retired,
Dan Marino, Dan Marino, you know, sitting courtside. Michael Jordan.
Doing the jump man for some reason.
No, Michael Jordan playing
UD's
defense.
There. UD's going to be
Michael
there.
Jordan.
UD, I mean, Chris Bosh, Hardaway, anybody whose jersey got retired. I mean, Chalmers should be there. Like, you could just do a lot with that.
That's so fucking corny, bro.
This is sports, man. What are we talking about?
Be serious, bro. Be serious about your statues. You know what I mean? Like, it takes – you got to be a special kind of player to get a statue.
For sure, the Dwayne one is going to be "This is my house," right? Like, there's no, if there was like betting odds on it, it would be like what, -5,000.
That has to be. I don't even know. And I tweeted.
And then
yesterday,
plus 500 that it's, I don't know what would the layup against the Pistons or maybe.
I'm glad you feel the same way about that.
When he threw – no, because you brought that up, and I thought that was a good one. You know, and also when he threw the ball up in the air against the Mavericks after the – you know, when they secured the title. I don't think those are going to make – that's plus 500 and plus 1,000 right there.
Yeah, no, this is my house. It's just too signature.
When they announced it, oh, my God. That ceremony they did where Pat was just, like, going nowhere with it. And I was so confused. Like, what is going on right now? That was
I can
so
see
funny.
Them.
And then Spoh said the same thing afterwards. He was like, I didn't know where Pat was going there.
Alex, one thing I can see them doing, and I just
brilliant execution.
Yeah. You remember
Pat Riley dancing with Rick Ross the other day at Family
Dude,
Festival.
That was so funny.
Yeah. I wish I was closer. I was like a little bit further away at that point. But when that – it was very – very surreal. It's just like all the Heat players just standing like very, very serious behind them. Just kind of like
Jimmy there?
Standing there. Yeah.
Did he come with his kid?
I don't know. I didn't see.
Jimmy's very private about that. That's why I was wondering.
Yeah. And you're over here asking me about it.
I don't know if he brought his kid or not. I don't know. That man posts everything on Instagram. Didn't post a single Family Fest video. Who had the most fun at Family Fest?
Who had the most fun?
Was it Kevin Love? Looks like he enjoys himself at Family Fest.
What I will say is I just walking around there from my experience, I mostly saw like the fringe players like just walking around hanging out.
Like Jovic?
No disrespect. Okay. DeLon. I saw a lot of DeLon. I saw a lot of Cole Swider. I saw a lot of Orlando. I saw a lot of Drew Smith.
Orlando's trying to enjoy it while it lasts.
I think Orlando's good. I mean, not good. I'm not saying like he's good. I'm saying he'll
be signed.
Yeah, and he's so like cheap. I think they're just they'll probably just keep him. But yeah, man. I mean, Family Fest was cool. I just wish it was a little bit, you know, not so crowded. And this is the first one I've ever been to, so it was cool, like, to get all that, you know, all the great vendors, and, you know, free food, of course, is great. Seeing Rick Ross on stage performing and Pat Riley dancing was cool. Very, very cool experience.
Rick Ross doesn't seem very Family Fest friendly.
I mean, you know, he played a couple of the hits. He did Rick Aston Ross, Martin music.
Rick Ross pretending to be some gangster when he was a corrections officer is still
one. Oh, don't do this.
That's still one of the funniest reveals of all time.
I do not condone these statements.
Bro, that is funny. You can't admit that that's not funny.
I'm not here to slander Rick Ross.
I'm not slandering
him. One day removed from 305 day.
I'm just saying what happened.
He was at the game yesterday, man.
I'm just saying what happened.
So I saw, and yesterday for 305 day, they had Trick Daddy and Trina. Trick Daddy and Trina perform at halftime.
Did Brady or Ethan know who those people were?
Yeah, Brady was watching the whole thing attentively.
Really? Does Ethan know who Trick Daddy is? Ethan might know.
Come on, bro.
I would bet that Ethan knows Trick Daddy more likely than Brady. Did Wes Goldberg know who Trick Daddy was?
I don't know. I wasn't next to Wes.
I should have asked. Wes came on the show yesterday, and I should have asked him. Alex, I've kept you for too long. Thank you for rocking with me.
This is what I'm here for, man, to get into the weeds.
We really got into you know, this is the best pod I've done in a while. We really scrounged every juice of Heat content.
Don't talk down on your talent like that, man.
No, I said me. I've been bad. I mean, did you not? I don't know if you listened to a show last week, but I had a Steve
every
Martin.
Show, bro. I'm not you. I listen to every single one. I'm not you.
I had to tell Wes. I was like, Wes, I don't listen to Locked On Heat, but I don't listen to. I don't even listen to Lowe or Nikias anymore. I just don't listen to basketball content. I just don't. I listen.
When you told me this before, you tell me it is because you don't want to steal anybody's takes. I'm calling complete cap on
it. It used to be that. It used to be that.
You're
right now,
out from it, and
I'm burnt out, and I only care about Super Smash Bros. Melee and Liverpool right now.
I told Brady this at the game yesterday. Like, I told Brady this at the game yesterday. Like, it's like I completely get Jimmy. Like with the calendar stuff. It's a long season, man, and you know we gotta ramp up. You gotta ramp up. It's not like. You know, you get burnt out, like having to cover every single game, and you, who's kind of in charge of everything behind the scenes too, like it's
tough to get up for a game against Detroit. You know, thank God Jovic got ejected. It injected a little life into it.
I still enjoy the hell out of it, but I'm with you that like I try not to consume too much basketball content. I don't consume as much as I used to.
I don't want it anymore. I don't like. I still love.
Do, but in you know, kind of limited. Because if not, it's just like too much. It's too much. Brain power just kind of being used on basketball. Like I gotta balance it with my other interests.
Dude, it's like so. I've listened to one episode of the Low Post.
I don't know if this is a podcast worthy topic.
Nah, I think so. I think people like Inside, you know, Inside Our Lives. I listened because I listen. Full disclosure, I have the biggest crush on Shanae Okiki, and she was on Low's pod, and I listened to it because I love Shanae.
Okay.
So, sorry, Nikias, I didn't listen to your episode.
Oh my god.
And I don't listen to the Dunker Spot anymore either. I don't listen to any basketball.
What did you call her, by the way?
Shanae.
No, what you what her last name?
No, never mind. I'm gonna edit that out. I think I said her name wrong. I don't know.
Did you confuse her with the Orlando Magic player?
I did.
Okay. I'm sorry, I do it
at the time too. I do it, and I put up the shot. I was like, "That shit's an air ball."
I looked up her name just now before I said, "I'm like, oh did you change her name?"
Wedding, dude. Tiff and Bond are gonna kill me, dude.
Hey man, you're the editor. You know,
I'll leave it in. I'm a man of my word, but. Oh my god.
Yeah, we did a lot of Patty Mills talk.
We did 20 minutes of Patty Mills talk. I didn't think I had that in me.
I don't think Patty Mills deserves 20 minutes, especially after what he did to the Heat 10 years ago.
We haven't even brought that up, but yeah.
We didn't forget. I still see it when I close my eyes.
I think of Gary Neal more than I think of Patty Mills.
I mean, it was both of them.
The guy who I remember
it was all of them, really.
It was
everybody.
Alex, I remember Gary Boris Neal killed him. Three. Huh?
No, I was just saying.
I don't remember DL. I don't really remember a lot of that series.
Him shutting down LeBron? No, he didn't shut him down, but like him being a problem, and like they were just better when they put him on the floor instead of Splitter.
I think it was game four.
But they started him or something?
No, they come out and I think they're up by like 15 in the first quarter. And I remember that that game was on Father's Day.
You're saying the Heat were up 15?
The Heat were up like 15. It was like a Sunday game, and it was like they got up like a lot early. And you could tell that it was the fakest fucking lead in the world. And they fucking blew it and they got ran out of the gym.
Yeah,
no, I don't remember last year's Denver series either, though there were circumstances in my life, but like that's another series that I don't remember a single game other than like the very end of game five and like some of game two. Forgettable series.
It was just so like the wind had been taken out of the sails by that point, because if I mean, I guess after game two, that was the last like glimmer of hope, right? When it was 1-1 going back to Miami. But man, did that shit end so quickly. It's like, oh, there goes. I mean, and the games were like decently competitive, but I also felt like that where it's like it ended up being unforgettable because Jimmy wasn't playing at the same level. And not only that, they just really never found, I think, the right solutions to the Nuggets. And it's like they were able to hold down their offense a bit, but the Heat's offense just sucked, and that kind of happened in the last game too, more or less. So yeah, you know, if they do get back to the finals somehow, I really hope it's not the Nuggets.
Same. But we've kept you long enough. I told Alex half an hour. We went 57 minutes, so
I'm good, man.
Sorry about that. But yeah, we appreciate you guys. If you're listening to this later this afternoon or this evening or tomorrow, we will be doing post-game on Thursday for Dallas, Miami. Hopefully Luka doesn't drop 50 because they just lost and it was pretty embarrassing. So we'll see. And then Check out Five on the Floor. Check out Ethan, Brady, Leif. I'm pretty sure Leif hates me because of all the Lowry stuff, but check him out anyway.
He does not hate you. Leif has no love in his heart. I mean, Jesus, no hate in his heart.
End the show.
No hate in his heart.
Pablo, clip that.
Don't do it, Pablo.
Pablo, clip that.
Check out our Off the Floor Discord server.
Where can people find it?
In the description to pretty much all our podcasts on YouTube or on the podcast feeds. It's pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Sports Twitter account if you want to find it there.
What do they get?
Scroll down after clicking. You get a bunch of stuff. You get Ethan and Leif scoops primarily on there. They go up there way before they go on Twitter. And Leif, every single year, for several years now, when it comes to the guys that the Heat are scouting, nails it every time. And he's dropped the guys throughout the season. And that's obviously going to heat up towards, you know, around the time the season ends. And, you know, free agency, all that stuff, all those scoops are going to go directly there first. You get a bunch of chats. You get to chat with Heat fans. And it's, a pretty, you know, toxic-free community. People just talking hoops there. You can talk about music, you can talk about other, you know, other things going on in the NBA. We have like separate chats for all of that. You got the, you know, me and Brady trying to give like our opinions and stats and all that stuff there. We're trying to give like the majority of the content there, and it's been a good time. So join that. Check us out on Playback. Sorry, I'm gonna have to do all the plugs. Playback.tv/5RSN, and go to the Rock Esports Center Friday, Palmetto Bay. 2K tournament starts at 5. The game starts at 7:30 or 8. I don't remember. I think 8. And yeah, thank you for having me on, man. We gotta get in the weeds some more.
It's been a minute. Thank you, Alex. Thank you to Five Reasons. And I'll see you guys tomorrow on stream or Friday in person at Rocky Sports Center. Come money match me in Melee.
See you on the finals, man.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.